This morning's Old Testament reading comes from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout out, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot of Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from Philippians chapter 2. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, See, you see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's lesson is the Palm Sunday narrative. Little boy was sick on Palm Sunday, so his grandmother watched him while his parents went to church. And when the parents came home from church, they had palm branches. Little boy says, How'd you get those? Well, today, and the father says, Well, today's Palm Sunday. And when the people saw Jesus, they cut down palm branches and they waved the branches and announced that Jesus had arrived. Little boy goes, Aw, shucks, the first time Jesus shows up at church and I miss it. You know, maybe it's just because I have a strange perspective on a few things. I know just a couple. But it kind of strikes me as odd that during Jesus' entire earthly ministry, we read about him basically walking from point A to point B, different places, carrying out his ministry, a couple times getting in a boat. Suddenly, though, now he wants to ride the last 2 miles into Jerusalem. You ever think about that? Why? I don't know. Well, actually, I do know the answer. I'll get to that in a second. But he sends two disciples to go into town, find a donkey that's tied up, untie it, and bring it back. Now, I'm from Detroit. Maybe that's my perspective on things. But what would happen if I said, well, Doug, you're sitting there, yep, mm-hmm. Doug, I want you to go to such and such a dealership. You go that brand new big truck thing out there, the red one, that's never been driven before, the keys are in the ignition, and you just climb in and take it. If anybody asks you, Doug, why are you taking this pickup truck, you say, I just have need of it for a little while, I'll bring it back. Now, what's going to happen? Yeah, it ain't going to end well. Just always kind of struck me as odd. Jesus sends to the disciples. They're actually questioned, but it was still, okay, the Lord has need of it. Gives you the idea that all of Jerusalem knew who this was coming into town. That or Jesus was just sending two very unpopular disciples, hoping they both got whacked. Kidding. Come on. All right. But it does stand out. The Lord has need of it. There's something you don't usually see in the Gospels. Jesus ever having a need for something. He was hungry in the wilderness when he was tempted. It said he had need of water at the well in Samaria. I guess we could say he had need for a tomb for a weekend. But you don't read about Jesus needing anything. Here's a question. And then I'll be done with the dumb comments. Why couldn't he just change one of the disciples into a donkey? I could just see Judas. Nope! I'll act like one later in the week. Not me. The reason he needs to ride the donkey into Jerusalem is from Zechariah 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Yeah, I kind of poked fun at the two disciples that were sent. It couldn't have been a real task that they were thrilled with. But sometimes God gives us tasks that he needs us to carry out, and they're not always pleasant. So they bring the donkey back to Jesus, and he rides into Jerusalem. And we have the story there where they cut down the palm branches and they put it down in front of him. Just to explain, do you ever wonder why they put palm branches on the road? You guys don't question this stuff? Pardon? Cover the blood? Oh, no, that's later. Very practical reason. When somebody important comes in the town, you send all your announcers in first. He's coming. Well, in an era where you only had dirt roads, if you want to move several hundred people down a road, you get one huge dust cloud. So you put down the palm branches to keep down the dust so the important person doesn't get dirty. Very practical reason for the palm branches. And even here we see a miracle that Jesus does. It says the donkey has never been ridden before, but he gets on the donkey and rides it into Jerusalem amidst an entire crowd. Now, if I would take, say, a donkey or a horse that had never been ridden before, tried to get on its back, and then take it through downtown Indy, how is this going to end up? My doctor is going to be able to afford yet another trip to the Caribbean, all right, because that thing is going to throw me so many times. Here's the miracle. Jesus gets on, and that donkey seems to have, and this is my idea, that donkey had an understanding who was on his back. You know, it does say that all of creation groans for the coming of Christ. And we have this victory parade, him coming into Jerusalem. I'm kind of picturing something like, you know, if you see the ticker tape parade to New York City at the end of World War II, when the soldiers came marching home again. The Jews, though, want this king who's going to free them from the Romans. And they're asking the question, is this the one? They knew many of the Old Testament prophecies. But is this really the one? That question, is this the one? Pet peeve of mine, NFL draft. When they go, what, top four or quarterbacks or some nonsense like that, and they'll ask, is this the one who will take us to the Super Bowl? The one. Got a question. Anybody's life really changed dramatically because of a Super Bowl victory? Doug. Linda, move up here and sit next to him and whack him. We ask that question about football players or baseball players or hockey. There's a real man sport. Is this the one that's going to take us to where we want to be? We should be asking that question about Jesus. Is this the one? And our answer is yes, because he gives us far more than just a victory in a game. He gives us life and salvation. And the people are chanting, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna simply means save us. The people are crying out to him, save us, save us. And that's exactly why he came into the city. And talk about a wide swing of emotions from now until next Sunday. Our very first hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor to You, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. We have a joyous hymn, then swing the completely other end when Friday we hear the words, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then he died. We celebrate Palm Sunday every year. But every Sunday we are asking God the exact same thing. Save us. We're asking him to forgive us. You know, if the world really understood who Christ was, you know, asking that question, is he the one? Churches would be packed Sunday after Sunday. And that's, again, not a commentary on anybody not here because of the weather. Totally got it. Not a commentary on that. But what I'm saying is, generally speaking, when the weather is 75 and sunny outside on a Sunday morning, churches should be packed if the world truly understood who he was. For 2 to 3 years, depending on how you date it, Jesus spent teaching what the kingdom of God was all about. He heals the sick, raises the dead, heals the lame. Now he comes into Jerusalem. On Monday, Thursday, he gives the people, his disciples, a new command to love one another as I have loved you. Talk about the swinging of emotions. You have this, the Lord's Supper. And he's saying, love one another as I have loved you. A few hours later, on the other end of the spectrum, you have Judas betraying him. Quickly followed by Good Friday. So what difference does this entire week mean? What does it really mean? What difference? There's a story of a woman who came to church. She told the pastor that her and her husband had both lost their job because they both worked at the same factory, and with them both being out of work, it was causing a lot of tensions at home. The kids were acting up. There was fights between the husband and wife, and she's coming to church week after week after week. Suddenly, she doesn't come anymore. Pastor's kind of, okay. Sees her at Walmart, because that's where you run into everybody, right? Is Walmart? Very seldom do I ever go to Walmart and not run into somebody I know. And he sees her at Walmart, and he says, I've missed you at church. And she says, oh, my husband and I each got a new job. Once we got working again, well, that kind of settled things out. The kids have sort of settled down. Things are good between my husband and I. I don't need church now because things just have a way of working out the way they do. What difference does it make? You know, we shout, save us. God saves us. He demonstrates that through the events of Holy Week. But then what do we do? Well, as human beings, we betray Jesus constantly by our deeds. We abandon him very easily. But the amazing part of this story is, he did it knowing what each and every one of us would do who was yet to be born, what we were going to do, and yet he still went to the cross for us. That's the gospel. That's the good news. He did it for us in spite of ourselves. So think about what will happen this coming week. What difference does it really make? Well, hopefully it changes the way we live and the way we think. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen. And we continue our worship with our gifts to continue the work of his church.